Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. The night shift can hold a lot of terrors. Being somebody who worked night shift myself before this whole YouTube thing happened, I saw a lot of weird and downright creepy things on that shift. These people have also apparently seen some absolutely spine-chilling things. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here lurking in the swamp. Now, without any more hesitation, let's get into these creepy, nightmare-inducing night shift stories. I was a nighttime security guard at a mall. For privacy reasons, I won't say which one. The job is usually extremely boring. Quite often, I just patrol, write reports of what I've been doing, and patrol some more. If things get really exciting, I might get lucky and find a few kids loitering and get to make up some fake story about the bad things that are going to happen to them if they continue to loiter. It's fun and usually scares them away, as they're ignorant to the fact that I'm not going to arrest them, nor am I even able to. Sometimes, I don't even go that route and I straight tell them about some horrible things that I've seen. Teenagers are more gullible than they like to admit in my experience. It used to be we'd joke around about something creeping around the mall. Now though, it seems like an all too real thing. There's a story behind it all, and if you'd be kind enough to listen, I'll happily tell it. I've been doing my job for about 5 years now, though I no longer work night shift. It hasn't been the most exciting thing in the world, which I'm grateful for, but that's what I love about it. It always felt safe and chill. This was until about my second year working as a nighttime security guard. As I said, it's usually very safe and a chill job. It was the weekend before 4th of July, and I was roaming the mall parking lots and grounds, looking for anything suspicious, but mostly, I was just zoning out and killing time till morning when my shift ended. It was while driving around the back of the mall that I heard some rattling. I looked in the general direction of the sound and didn't see anything. My first thought was, maybe it was an animal, but then it happened again. I quickly drove over to the back entrance of the mall and watched it closely. I was intrigued, but I wasn't expecting much. Still, I thought it'd be a nice change to the normal lull of interesting, that is, night shift security at malls. I should mention, despite how much I clown on my job, I do love it. I'm just being honest in the fact that it's generally a slower job. Anyway, I'm scanning the area, flashlight out, and I can see no sign of animal life. I'm just about to pull away when I hear the noise again. I immediately park my truck and get out. This time, the noise hasn't stopped. In fact, it's going, and it appears to be at the mall doors. It looks like the mall doors are shaking, like someone is trying to get in or out. It was weird at first, because it was just a couple of rows of doors, but as it went on, I noticed all the doors were now rattling. I felt weird, but I knew I had to do my job, and I was beyond curious at this point. So I unlocked all the mall doors and headed inside, making sure to lock the door behind me, of course. The strange thing was, the noise stopped as I was doing this, and while entering, I saw no one around that would be pounding on the doors and shaking them in any way. Still, being I was the night security guard, I decided to start patrolling inside the mall itself. I searched all the bathrooms, every nook and cranny, everything. Still, I found no one around. Perplexed, but ready to write it off as just lack of sleep, I began heading toward the entrance once again. As I'm getting to the door and about to unlock it, I hear the most disturbing scream coming from deeper within the mall. It wasn't just one scream, though. It was three distinct screams and then silence. I debated calling the police at this point, but also figured I needed to check the area again before doing so. I basically didn't want to call the police out to find out that I was somehow hallucinating something in my mind, or maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me. I slowly walked deeper into the mall once again, flashlight in hand. I know I should probably run, but if you heard this scream and realized you were only armed with a baton and some mace, you'd be a lot more hesitant as well. Once again, I searched the mall, but I found no one. I laughed at myself and told myself to chill before taking a seat in the food court. It was while looking around and trying to relax I heard a rattling sound. I stood up and panned my flashlight to find the trash can shaking before tipping on its side. I went over to the trash can and picked it up. I wasn't about to waste my time cleaning the trash itself. I'm sorry, they don't pay me to be a facilities guy. I'm just security and I don't have the tools needed to clean the mess up anyway. I once again debated calling the police, but then I thought, what am I going to say? Some invisible force is screaming and knocking trash cans over? Please send the ghost hunters or something? I laughed at that thought, but I was bothered by what I had just seen. Was the thing I witnessed caused by a ghost? If there was a ghost in the facility, how exactly was I supposed to deal with that, and how would I fit that into a report? If this quote-unquote ghost kept making a mess, how would I keep my job seeing as I would be blamed for it, or at the very least questioned about what was going on at night? Answering with I don't know or I think it might be a ghost wouldn't go well with my bosses, I thought. Looking around some more, I quickly noticed faint laughter in the distance. I called out with authority, my name and job title. I then explained the harsh penalties that would come if whoever was responsible didn't show themselves now, and also stop causing damages to the mall. I was met with silence. Clearly, if an actual human being was around, they were either not threatened by my warnings or were calling my bluff. I took another go around the mall. I wasn't sure what was going on or how to explain it, but I was certain I needed to keep a close eye out in the case that this was all someone's extremely elaborate prank. I was walking past some of the bathrooms when I heard the screaming again. I jumped back for a moment before quickly forcing myself inside the woman's bathroom. There was a stall door that looked shut and locked. I announced myself and slowly got on the ground and looked around. No one appeared to be there. But before I could get up, I heard the lock click and the door open. I got up quickly before hearing giggling once again. Something was wrong with all of this, and I was beginning to become very uneasy. I was about to head out of the bathroom when something caught the corner of my eye. In the mirrors, as I looked at the stalls one by one, something seemed to be floating in the center stall. It looked to be behind a closed and locked stall, but when looking at the stall outside the mirror, it wasn't locked or closed at all. I looked back and everything seemed to match up and look normal again. I should note, right now, though, I know this story sounds insane, I don't do drugs or drink or any of that. So I wasn't on anything, especially on the job. I slowly walked out of the bathroom and noticed a carousel begin to start up on its own. I was beginning to really freak out at this point and pulled my phone out, but as I lined up the phone to record what I was seeing, it all just stopped. Weirded out, I headed to the security office to check the cameras. Strangely, there was no footage of the carousel moving at all. Just me standing there with my phone out like an idiot. Deciding I was spooked but confident there wasn't any living soul in the mall, I decided to leave the office and head out of the mall, locking the place behind me. I went to my truck and waited for the final 2 hours of my shift to end. I just patrolled the parking lot and tried to explain away in my mind what I had witnessed. In the morning, I explained some of the weird stuff I'd been experiencing and wrote a report on it. My boss laughed, but they also wanted to be sure I was okay and if I needed a night off. I told them no. It was probably just my mind messing with me. That's when one of my bosses pulled me to the side and said, "It's alright if I needed a night off." He said the reason they paid me so well is weird things have happened at the mall before. At night, and it has caused many of the night shift workers to abruptly quit. He reassured me and explained to me they didn't think I was crazy. Despite their joking about everything, my boss even began to share some strange happenings in his early days on the job. They were mostly concerned as they had a hard time keeping nighttime security guys and didn't want me to quit. I explained to them, weird occurrences aside, that I love my job and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I came back to my job the next night, excited for a hopefully chill shift. This night, however, was anything but chill. It started off normally enough, but it ended quite differently. I was patrolling the exterior of the mall once again. While making my rounds, I saw a face in the door. It was once again at the back entrance and was coming from the inside. As I looked more closely, the face disappeared. I double-checked the doors and realized there were no broken locks or even what seemed to be any entry of any kind. I went inside and found the carousel lively and going. I quickly rushed over, somewhat annoyed, and screamed to cut it out. The carousel went silent and was off once again. I filed a report in the hopes that someone would check the electrical on the thing, to be sure that it wasn't some easily explained issue with the ride itself. I then went to the office and filed the report before checking the cameras. The cameras were acting weird. They would glitch out, one after another before fixing themselves again. I quickly made my way to the section of the mall that the glitches would be occurring at. There was nothing there. No one was there, but there was a deep chill in the air itself. There was also the smell of sulfur. That's strange, I thought to myself. I began looking around some more. My flashlight began acting up, and as I hit it to fix it, there was a loud screaming. This sounded like bloody murder. It was quickly followed by an inhuman groaning of some kind, and then another trash can was completely flipped across the room into the shutter walls, blocking one of the stores. I freaked out, as the lighting in the mall began to flicker. Terrified, I rushed out of the mall and called the cops. The police came out and checked the place, which was now conveniently silent. They found nothing other than a discarded trash can. They said they saw no sign of anyone, and they even checked our footage. It was there, that thankfully, they did witness the trash can being thrown. They seemed perplexed, but informed me that there was nothing they could really do after talking to me for a bit. They eventually left. My shift was almost up, and I was just about ready to quit entirely. The owner saw the footage and my bosses did as well. They decided they would try to hire another night shift security guard and offered to let me work days after I took a few days off just to readjust my sleep schedule. I took them up on the offer and I haven't worked nights since that night. I'm grateful to my bosses for allowing me to switch shifts, and to this day, I'm much happier dealing with the living than I was dealing with the strange oddities of the dead. I've done some research since and I believe that there might be a demon lurking in the mall. I know that sounds crazy, but the smell of sulfur has really got me thinking about it. Regardless, that's not my problem anymore, and I'm beyond thankful for it. My name is Gary, and I do private security for different companies. Usually that means working late nights. I'll be the first to admit I'm very confident in my ability to protect myself. I used to be in the Marines and afterward, I got into security detail as a regular line of work. One of the places that contract us has us contracted to watch the rail yard during the late summer hours. This is generally to dissuade stowaways of potential suicides as well, as they can be high in the area. During my time watching the rail yard, I'd caught all manners of homeless or even kids up to no good. The homeless, I usually ran off, and the kids were simple to deal with. I'm a pretty muscular dude and I'm armed, It basically only takes me showing up and explaining to them that they are trespassing to get them to leave. Of all the places I've worked and security I've done, I've never had anything shake me to my core like the incident at a rail yard in Australia a few years back. I'm the first person to tell you, I'm highly skeptical of unnatural happenings. That said, what happened at this job would definitely fit into the category of unnatural. I spent the first few nights on my job rustling up kids, and at one point, helping a homeless guy get a job. It was nothing major, and as I said, I don't scare easily. The fourth night on the job, though, I came across something I still can't explain logically. To get straight to the point, it was around 1:20 in the morning when I heard a disturbance in the rail yard. I began slowly moving through train cars, weapon at the ready, and looking for any sign of life. It's eerie walking around a rail yard at night. It feels isolating, in a lot of ways, but also, you feel like you're being watched at all times. It didn't take me long to reach the source of the noise. I opened the rail car and slowly raised my weapon. Inside it, it looked like to be a dog of some kind that was eating another dog. The thing is, its guts were splayed all over the car. My first thought was, how the hell did these two get into the car to begin with? Then the thought occurred maybe they somehow stowed away, unnoticed in their hunt for food. One had to cannibalize the other. That's when I noticed this thing was getting angrier as I neared it. There was a low growling, and then it grew much more malicious in its sound, as I got within a few feet of it. The smell itself was nauseating, but nothing horrible in comparison to the things I've seen or dealt with while in the service. I stopped, held my weapon toward the dog, and tried to get it to leave. I tried raising my voice and stomping, but it merely growled before going back to eating the entrails out of its poor victim. I pointed my weapon outside the train car and fired a few rounds off. This dog seemed completely unfazed, which was the first time that clued me that this situation might not be entirely normal. After a while, it stopped, licked its face, and looked at me before rushing off into the night. I recorded the incident in a report and explained to the rail yard owners what I had found. The owners seemed genuinely concerned. They asked me several times what I did to make the dog run off. My story never changed, and once they were satisfied with it, they had someone clean the remains of the other dog and told me I did a great job before asking if they could do anything for me. I simply told them I'd be fine and would be back in a couple of nights when I was on shift again. They thanked me for my work and I went to my home away from home for the next few nights. I remember not being able to shake the thought of what I had encountered. During my days off, I wasn't scared, but I was a little eerie. I was still perplexed how these two dogs got into a locked rail car. I'm positive it was locked, and I'm certain the doors were shut firmly. I tried to let it go before I knew it. My next night at work was upon me. I came in as the sun was setting, did some paperwork, and soon began my patrol. It was about 11 at night when a kid comes running up to me covered in blood and screaming incoherently. I got the kid to calm down enough that I eventually was able to half discern what he was trying to say. I followed him to the area his friend was at, and to my shock and horror, there was a kid, his stomach ripped open, being eaten by this dog. I put the other kid behind me, readied my weapon, and began firing into the dog. I shot at it a few times, in the head and several times where its heart should have been. The thing fell limp for a moment, and I looked at the dead kid. He must have been around 13 or 14 at least. Definitely no older than 16. And he was dead. I was about to call the police when I see a twitching out of the corner of my eye. The dog, it gets up. And I began firing, out of shock. I must have emptied my entire clip into the thing when it stands up and I realize, quite quickly, it is growing in form. And it simply isn't a dog. This thing is a hulking 9 to 12 foot figure with red eyes, black fur, and the sharpest teeth I have ever seen on an animal. I freaked out, picked up the still living kid with one arm, while I fired indiscriminately at this beast that now lunged towards us. I took a quick right and heard this thing's claw screeching against the metal of the train cars. I kept running when I heard the thing land on top of the train car in the distance. I quickly pushed the kid up against a train car and motioned for him to be dead silent while waiting. It wasn't long before we heard the sound of a large thud on the top of the train car we were pressed up against. I soon felt drool dripping upon my bulletproof vest, and I prayed silently to God to keep us safe. The thing began sniffing the air before slowly looking down and growling. I shoved the kid forward and told him to run, at which point the thing looked in his direction. I quickly fired a few rounds off before reloading, and it seemed to divert the thing's attention toward me. I was terrified at that moment, but I was grateful I had the focus of this monster and wasn't thinking about that kid. I ran in the opposite direction the kid had headed while firing off at the beast, which quickly pursued me. I've never ran so quickly in my life. The thing stalked me all the way back to the dead child. I was running out of breath, and when I could no longer run, I just fired every round I could before the thing reached me. It seemed unfazed. The hulking figure now stood over me before roaring out the sheer terror. I pulled a knife out and stabbed it in the side of the mouth. This pissed it off, and I felt a massive backhand that sent me flying into a tree a few feet away. I felt like I might have cracked a rib, as I quickly fell low into some grass and waited. I was terrified, but my previous military training had me in such a way I was in a me or it survival situation. As such, my training took over. The beast was in the area, in all of a second, and sniffing around again. I could see the bullets inside the skin of this thing, and it still seemed fine. The thing drew closer, and I prepared, holding my breath for a moment, until finally it was close enough. I quickly jumped up, ripped my knife out of the thing's mouth, and ducked under another backhand. I then jumped on the monster and stabbed as quickly as I could several times before feeling claws ripping into the back of my vest. I dropped out of the vest and threw my knife. The beast winced and let out a loud howl when the knife hit it in the left eye. I took my opportunity to come at it with all the muscle I had in me, punching this thing a few times in the stomach before attempting to climb it and get my knife. The thing grazed my face with its claw, and I fell to the ground before rolling back and springing to my feet again. It stared at me in rage, and there was suddenly a series of howls in the distance. My knife still in its eye, the thing roared in my face and turned, running off into the night. I had survived, and I reported everything I saw to the police, who dismissed it as a wild animal, and then I asked for a transfer that morning. To this day, I'm not sure what that thing was or why it was out there, but I can say, judging by the howls, there are more than one of those things out there. So yeah, that's my story. If you have any idea what this thing could be, by all means, please let me know. I'm a cop who has been with the New York PD for 14 years. I'm retired now, and a lot of that was because of my final call. A few years ago, I was asked to respond to a call about strange noises bothering a woman in her 80s. The woman owns a mansion and I was nearby, so I said I'd respond to the disturbance. It didn't take long for things to be off. I initially pulled up and noticed all the lights were off and things were rather quiet. I announced my presence, but no one seemed to respond. I tried announcing myself a few more times before trying the front door. It was unlocked. This was strange, as this older woman lives alone and there's no way she felt comfortable leaving her door unlocked. My initial worry was that maybe she forgot to lock it. As I continued to investigate and continued to call for the woman, I began to realize something wasn't right. The first telling thing was that as I searched up and down the place, I could find no older woman and no presence of anything going on. There was no sign of anything being awry. No worst case scenario body finding situation. Nothing. When I tried to radio to dispatch that I had found nothing and was going to head back after one more sweep, things got very strange. For starters, I was getting no response and I was getting a lot of static through the radio itself. Stranger still, I noticed when I came back to the front of the mansion, the door was closed and locked. I didn't close it or lock the door behind me when I came in. This was enough to arouse suspicion, but what was even stranger was when I started to hear piano music from upstairs. I quickly made my move upstairs, announcing myself once again as I did. I went to the music room and realized the door was now locked. I began pounding on the door, telling whoever was inside to open up that I was police. The music stopped. There was an immediate click and the door opened. Walking inside, I noticed the lights were still out and no one was around. I had checked the basement earlier and the breakers appeared to be fine. When I tried the lights though, nothing happened. Examining the room further, I noticed a woman fitting the description of the caller in the mirror's reflection. Turning around though, much to my shock, no one was there. I looked back, she was there. I looked behind me, she wasn't. It made no sense. As strange as that was, things got even stranger as I opened the door to the hall and noticed I was in a bathroom. Keep in mind, this is the door I just came through, and there was no bathroom whatsoever. I thought I heard someone behind me and spun around only to find the hallway from before behind me and the piano playing in the room across the hallway. How was this possible? I walked slowly up to the music room and attempted to open it, but it was locked. I decided to try to call for backup. Once again, my radio wasn't working. Thinking I'd go back to my car and try to radio it in, I headed downstairs. That's when the strangest thing happened. As I headed downstairs, I noticed an all-too-familiar hallway. There was no reason for this hallway to stretch on as long as it did, and these stairs, well, to put it simply, the stairs weren't this long before. After some more walking, I realized I seemed to be looping back to the same hallway. The piano in the music room somehow resonated through the entire mansion as I tried to get back downstairs. It was when I went back up, I noticed the door to the music room was cracked open. It looked like blood, and at the piano was a woman in a white dress. This was creepy enough, but as I approached the woman, she turned toward me. It was when I realized she had no eyes, and the most disturbing smile I'd ever seen. The door behind me slammed and locked, and I drew my sidearm, telling the woman to stop playing music, at which point there was a loud note, and all the music stopped. I was more than a little unnerved at this point. I began to ask the woman, my weapon still drawn, who she was, and if she'd seen an older woman in her 80s in the mansion. The woman simply smiled before tilting her head back. There was a snapping sound, and she opened her mouth widely, letting out a strange crying sound which quickly filled the room and made me put my weapon away, gripping my ears as I did. My vision seemed to twist and shake and blur as I struggled to keep my senses. I felt myself fading in and out for a moment before the crying stopped, and I looked around to find the lights on and no one around. I was visibly shaken and bolted out of the room. I checked my radio, which now only emitted a low static sound. I tried to radio out anyways as I ran downstairs. I got nothing in return. I reached the bottom of the stairs to find a very wide hallway there and the entrance where the door used to be. What in the world was happening? Was I sick? Was I seeing things? What was happening? I began to question my sanity when my radio came to life.
Officer, please respond.
Yes, I responded. I'm here, can you hear me? I need backup. I'm not sure what's happening here, but I need backup. I was met with the low sound of low static. There was a strange, almost chanting or humming coming from deep within the hall now. I walked forward, slowly, flashlight in hand and weapon in hand. A million thoughts were racing through my mind at the moment. I couldn't begin to grasp or understand what was happening, but I was fairly certain I was indeed seeing it. As I got further down the hall, I realized there was a deformed crying. It was like a maddening and warped cry for help. That is when I saw an old-looking arm and then heard screams as it dragged around a corner. I rushed forward without a second thought, only to turn the corner to find the staircase from the entrance. It sounded like it was raining outside, and I turned to find the entrance to the house, but It was chained shut. What the hell? It certainly made no sense at all, and after a while, I studied the door itself. There was a pentagram and more strange symbols I didn't have the first clue how to understand. The door shook for a moment, like someone was banging from the other side. I turned and walked back toward the stairs when I heard the sound of chains falling to the ground. I spun around and watched as the chains fell to the ground and the door burst open. There was what looked like a vast, unnatural darkness outside, and from it, I saw a mutilated version of myself. I flipped out and began discharging my weapon. Seconds later, I noticed there was nothing there, but the sound of quiet in the entrance door, looking normal. There were no symbols and nothing off about it at all. I checked my weapon to only realize I hadn't fired it at all. I freaked out and ran for the door. I unlocked it, ripped it open, running to my patrol car. I got inside and locked my doors before sending word to dispatch that I'd investigated the house and found no one inside. The dispatch came confused and I explained how I got a call from them earlier in the night to investigate strange noises going on in this 80-year-old woman's mansion. They were confused at my words and said they never sent my unit that way. I told them maybe I made a mistake and finished the night off at the precinct office, doing paperwork before resigning the moment my shift was over. I'm not sure there's a logical explanation for the call I know I got or the events that transpired, but it was enough for me to say goodbye to my job. I now live comfortably in a different city, far from New York, doing an entirely different job. Needless to say, I was more than a little weirded out by my experiences, and I hope I never go through something like that again. I'm a trucker, and you can call me Dan. Being a trucker by nature means a lot of very late nights, so I figured this would qualify for the topic. I meet a lot of people on the highways of the good old US of A. I'm a proud patriot and former soldier. I'm also single and the nights can get lonely on the road. My experiences started after a haul from Washington State to New York. I had been moving food mostly at this time. Nothing perishable, mind you. Anyway, the trip to New York was peaceful enough. The trip back home, though, was anything but. I'd like to state in advance that I picked up hitchhikers fairly often when I'm not actively hauling something. I know they say it isn't safe, but I can handle myself pretty well and I'm armed if anyone should try to cross anything. All that said, I was driving through a lonely road in Montana when I saw a young woman on the side of the road. She looked to be in her 20s, had long curly blonde hair, blue eyes, and appeared to wear a purse or pouch of some kind on her back. Now, it was strange for someone to be walking alone, at night, down a dark road like this, and I became concerned for her safety. I stopped my truck and asked if she would be alright. She said she was headed west and was wondering if she could hitch a ride with me. I told her hop in, and soon we were off. The girl wore black jeans and a gray shirt. I asked her what she was doing on the road so late at night. She explained that she had just gotten out of a horrible relationship with her previous boyfriend that was abusive. She said she didn't really have a way to get back home and wanted to start anew. She didn't really want to wait either, as it was too far for her parents to drive, so she started hitching rides. I asked if she was sure I didn't want to take her to the police, but she explained her boyfriend was several states back and it wouldn't help at this point. She said she was simply happy to move on with her life. I understood and dropped the subject. We sat silently for about an hour and a half before she asked if I was a serial killer. I remember being so taken back by how out of the blue the question was, and I couldn't help but let out a deep laugh. The girl seemed amused by this and smiled at me. She then jokingly told me she had to ask, even though I probably wouldn't tell her if I was. I nodded and told her no. I was too old and my life was rather sedentary, and so I didn't have the time or energy to pick up killing as a hobby. This young lady then began laughing even harder and mentioned how being on the road would make it really easy to do. I nodded and told her I'm sure it would before reassuring her I wasn't in the killing trade. I asked how old she was, and she told me 20. She explained that she was going to college back where her boyfriend lived, but she had to drop out when she left. Looking at her shirt, I realized this added up. The young woman then laughed and asked what I was hauling previously. I told her it was just some non-perishable foods, mostly canned goods. I then asked her what her name was. The woman told me her name was Denise. I told her it was nice to meet her and she can call me Dan. I then asked me what state specifically she needed me to take her to. Denise said Washington. I thought this was an interesting coincidence, but it was nice to have company, so I wasn't about to complain. I told her she was in luck as I was headed that way and she could tag along for the rest of the way, but we need to figure out sleeping arrangements as I didn't want her to feel uncomfortable. I even offered to get a motel with separate rooms, but she insisted I sleep in my cab and she could lay up front. I told her she could have the cab and I would lay up front if needed. After a bit of debating about it, she agreed. We stopped in a truck stop not too long after and she headed back. I laid up front, locked the doors before stretching across the seats. I knew it wasn't going to be the most comfortable period to sleep, but I was ready to get home, so I figured I wouldn't sleep much anyway. Also, I really didn't want Denise to be uncomfortable. I was taught growing up that you treat your guests with the same respect as you wish them to treat you. Being a trucker, the truck is home in many cases, so I did just that. I was about to doze off when I felt some poking me in the side. I awoke to Denise staring at me. She claimed she was cold, and she didn't really have the money to pay me for my help, and was wondering if she could thank me in a different way. I felt her hand traveling, and I won't lie, I was definitely tempted to take her up on her offer, but I couldn't do it. I'm a man of morals and I prefer to really get to know somebody before having sex. Also, I don't want to take advantage of women. I told Denise, don't worry about payment, it was just nice to have company and she didn't need to pay me in any way. She smiled and she said I was sweet and asked if I had a wife. I told her I was a single man, but I wouldn't take advantage of the situation. She kissed me on the cheek and said thank you before going back to bed. I noticed she wasn't complaining about being cold anymore. Just in case, I informed her I had another blanket in the compartment in the back. I then zoned out and crashed. It was late in the afternoon when I woke to a note of thanks and a woozy feeling in my head. The note said, I was woozy because Denise had extracted some of my blood while I slept. She never said what she was using it for. She apologized if it had upset me in any way. The note also said, I should get some food in me. Now, I know you can't really sell blood for anything, so I'm not sure why she wanted my blood. I hope that wherever she is, whatever she was actually up to, that she is okay. I've worked as a coroner for my entire career. There are all sorts of unexplained deaths that happen every day that most people will never realize. I've seen it all from slips in bathtubs to death from seemingly nothing. Still, nothing has ever been so disturbing to me as a late night about 12 years ago when I was examining a body. I'm fairly used to long hours and strange happenings. In many ways, it's part of the job. That said, this type of thing isn't. I got a Jane Doe who came in, who was murdered. The case of death was decapitation. After examining the body for quite some time, I stopped to take a short break. It was late, probably around midnight. I didn't check the time to be certain when I was chilling out and taking a moment to think. As I was doing this, I heard a woman's voice behind me. It was more of a whispering, but it was distinct enough that I'm sure I heard it. Turning around, I looked at the body on the table. There wasn't another living soul in the room besides me. As I approached the woman's body, the lights above her body flickered for a moment. I was confused, but I'm a fairly rational-minded individual and assumed that the bulbs were getting old or it was an odd electrical anomaly. I remember looking down at the body and trying not to think about the fact that this Jane Doe was someone's family, and unless we could identify her, whoever her family was, if she had any left, would never know what happened to her. That sort of thing happens more than people realize as well. It's a sad reality of mine, but I have to live with it in this light of work. I finished up my break, and as I looked up, I thought I saw someone in the double doors. I walked up to check who it might be, and in the door, I saw a headless woman. I tripped out as the Jane Doe was headless as well. She was just standing there for a few moments before pressing against the door. the door opened, and no one was there. The image I'd seen had vanished. Shortly after this, I felt a cold chill pass through me. I wasn't sure what to think, but I decided not to focus too much on the oddities and go back to examining the body. In a weird sort of way, I thought if somehow it was a ghost, maybe she wanted to find out who she was. Another thing to note about the body was she was missing her fingers. This was disturbing, but she had been murdered, so it wasn't very strange per se, I guess. I tried every way imaginable to get some kind of identification on the body. I couldn't, however, as any and all ways of identifying them outside of DNA were not present to do. Also, it wouldn't help if someone didn't come and identify the body themselves. To this point, we had no family come by, and there wasn't anyone claiming to know who this person might be. Frustrated for much of the rest of the night, I went home soon after putting the body in proper storage. It was while sleeping I had a strange dream. In the dream, I saw a woman. I watched her being decapitated and watched as post-mortem her killer cut off the fingers and collected them. This was an unnerving dream to have, and I was put off when I first awoke. It was also very frustrating as my dreams weren't going to magically bring this poor woman's killer to justice. And also, it almost seemed like my dreams were taunting me with the fact that we didn't know who this girl was. I should also note that the dreams felt very real. I felt like I was in the body of the killer, and it felt all too real. I woke up sick that morning from the sight and smells I experienced in the dream. When I finally returned to work, I finished up everything I could do with my examination, and sadly was no closer to identifying the woman. In my dream, I couldn't see her actual face. It was just whatever the face imprinted itself in my dream. I'm a man of science, so I don't put any stock into dream interpretation or dream-solving murders. I'll admit, things were strange around this case, but it wasn't for me to solve, and if I didn't have the means to do so, I shouldn't be hurting myself trying. I'm aware that this is going to come across as cold, but if you work in my profession, you have to understand it isn't easy and you can't get super attached. By the time someone comes into your lab, you do all you can do to find an ID, and if you have that, but no cause of death, a cause of death. You try to verify causes of death, and you do it respectfully. Sadly, though, there are times we are left with mysteries of which we will never truly solve. The death has already happened, and beyond our doing. You can't develop a personal connection over a body. That isn't to say that you don't do your damnedest to get a result, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. I've been haunted by the dreams of being the killer yearly since I started working that case, and to be honest, I've never had this issue with other cases or victims. I'm not sure why this one bothers me the most, but it clearly has a grip on me, and it still haunts me to this day. To those listening to this, I'm sorry that there isn't more closure. Sadly, in life and my profession, this happens. Perhaps it was the brutality of it all that has this case on my mind, or maybe it's not having answers. But wherever you are now, Jane Doe, I hope you are at peace, and I'm sorry I never found out who you were or who killed you. Thanks for listening to these creepy night shift stories. These stories honestly have me looking over my shoulder while reading them, and have definitely made me very happy that I don't work the night shift anymore. If you have a night shift story or something else that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. If you guys enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube pushes it to fresh new eyes. If you haven't joined the swamp yet, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video? I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. Once again, thank you guys for always supporting the swamp. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.